The Quiet Shift in Generosity by Bill Tibbetts, published on March 30th, 2026. The Quiet Shift in Generosity: How Gen X Approaches Generosity Differently and Why That Matters for the Future of Ministry. Let me begin with a bit more candor than I typically use. The strategies that worked with boomer donors are not producing the same response from Gen X when it comes to fundraising or giving above the tithe. Not because pastors or ministry leaders lack integrity, not because the mission isn't compelling, but because the approach often feels disconnected from how this generation lives, thinks, and makes decisions. And if we're honest, it can feel transactional. That matters more than we think. Because a growing portion of significant kingdom generosity is now coming from Gen X and millennial marketplace leaders. And they are wired differently than the boomer generation that built so much of the church's current funding models. I say this carefully and with some personal proximity. My wife and I are sanctified Gen Xers. I know it's hard to believe, but they do exist. Over the last 15 years, we've been invited into opportunities to give to various ministry projects at levels that carry real weight. Before that, I grew up watching my dad have similar conversations on what felt like a weekly basis. I don't say that to posture. I say it to locate perspective. I genuinely consider it an honor to be invited into kingdom work. I understand the need. I understand the unexpected needs. I'm not usually skeptical. Usually. But there is a way to make the ask to this new generation of wealth, and the difference is not small. What follows isn't fundraising theory, it's pattern recognition. It's what consistently works, and what quietly shuts doors, especially with Gen X six-figure plus donors. If we miss this, we don't just lose dollars. We miss partnership. We miss discipleship. We miss what God may actually want to do in and through the people we're asking. This article is focused on above the tithe giving, not baseline obedience, but intentional generosity that is often tied to specific opportunities and vision. Gen X donors are not boomer donors. Let's name the tension. Boomer donors were often shaped in an era of institutional trust. If a respected pastor or ministry leader cast vision, that carried weight. Loyalty, consistency, and proximity to leadership were often enough to sustain long-term giving. Gen X donors came of age watching institutions fail. Corporate scandals, church failures, leadership collapses. We learned to ask questions. We learned to verify. We learned to separate vision from execution. That doesn't make the Gen X Christian cynical, but it does make us discerning. And here's the key shift. Boomers often gave out of loyalty to an institution. Gen X gives out of alignment with a mission. Please reread that last sentence. Gen X donors are not looking to maintain institutions. They are looking to meaningfully shape outcomes. And Scripture reinforces this shift toward intentionality. Proverbs 21, verse 5 reminds us, "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance." Thoughtful engagement, not passive alignment, is the posture. Side note, if a Gen X donor senses their marketplace work is spiritually secondary, you've already lost them. Which leads to the next point. Validate my work for the kingdom beyond being a donor. This one is subtle, but it cuts deep. Very few pastors or ministry leaders, if any, would ever say, "I see you primarily as a donor." But many marketplace leaders feel exactly that. Not because of what is said, but because of what is not said. When the language of calling, ministry, and kingdom impact is reserved primarily for church-based or missionary roles, it unintentionally communicates that everything outside the church is secondary. And if you're a marketplace believer hearing this, frequently, it's wildly disenfranchising, because it's broken discipleship. Scripture obviously doesn't support this divide. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for all of us to do. Not just pastors, not just missionaries, all of us. Colossians 3 verse 23 reinforces it. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Gen X donors want to know that their work matters to God, that their leadership, their companies, their influence, their decisions are part of His redemptive plan. As Tim Keller wrote, all work has dignity because it reflects God's work. When that theology is lived, not just stated, it dismantles the sacred-secular divide. When that is affirmed, something shifts. Now you're not talking to someone who funds ministry. You're talking to someone who is already living on mission. And when you invite that person into additional kingdom work, it doesn't feel like an obligation. It feels like alignment. Invite me to participate, not just give. If the only role I have in your vision is writing a check, you've already limited the relationship. Gen X donors are not looking to fund something from a distance. We want proximity. We want to feel it, see it, pray into it, wrestle with it. Paul writes in Philippians 1 verse 5 about partnership in the gospel. Not contribution, partnership. That word matters. Partnership requires shared experience. Invite me into that. Invite me to pray, not as a formality, but as a real dependency. James 5 verse 16 reminds us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Let us carry the weight with you spiritually, not just financially. Invite me to hear the stories, not just the outcomes. Invite me to visit, if appropriate, so I can see the work firsthand. And here's where many leaders hesitate, but shouldn't. Invite me into the hard parts. Let me see the pinch points, the constraints, the risks of the project you want donor dollars for. Not because I need to fix everything, but because many of us have spent decades navigating complexity, pressure, and decision-making at scale. You're not just inviting generosity, you're inviting wisdom. As Henry Cloud notes, people support what they help create. Participation creates ownership, and ownership deepens commitment. That changes how we engage. Show me specifically how the money will be used. This is where many well-intentioned asks lose credibility. Gen X donors speak the language of clarity, not because we worship numbers, but because numbers tell a story. If you're asking for a significant investment, vague descriptions of impact are not enough. Tell me exactly where the money is going and the measure of the impact. What does this fund? What outcomes are you expecting? What timeline are you operating on? Luke 14:28 says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost? Jesus assumes thoughtful planning. Gen X expects it. 1 Corinthians 14:40 states, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Clarity is not corporate. Planning is not in the absence of the Holy Spirit. It's biblical. As Peter Drucker famously said, what gets measured gets managed. Clear metrics are not a lack of faith. They are a form of stewardship. And there are two additional layers that matter. First, show me how others are contributing, not to create pressure, but to demonstrate shared ownership. If multiple people are investing, it communicates credibility and momentum. Second, show me how the ministry is contributing. If the church or organization is not meaningfully invested in the vision financially, it raises questions, not accusations, questions. Shared sacrifice builds trust. As 2 Samuel 24:24 reminds us, I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. Build sincere relationships, not strategic ones. One of the greatest markers of Gen X is a low tolerance for anything that feels manufactured, especially relationships. We can sense when a relationship is only designed around a pending ask. And once that signal is detected, it's very difficult to recover. Boomer donors often responded well to structured donor experiences, dinners, events, recognition moments, carefully curated environments. Gen X is not impressed by any of that. We don't want special meals. We don't want gift bags. We don't want to be treated differently than everyone else in the room. We want sincerity. We want real conversations. We want to know you as a person, not just a leader with a need. We want to be known, not managed. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2:8, we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. That's the model. As Henry Nouwen wisely said, fundraising is first and foremost a form of ministry. It is not about acquiring resources. It is about inviting people into transformation, not leveraged relationships, shared lives. And here's the reality. There will be times when you need to make an urgent ask. Emergencies happen. Opportunities arise. We understand that. But if the only time we hear from you is when something is needed, the relationship will always feel thin. Sincere relationship builds long-term trust, and trust is what sustains long-term generosity. The deeper opportunity. If you take a step back, this isn't really about fundraising. It's about discipleship. Donors, specifically Gen X for this narrative, are not just resources to be stewarded. They are people to be formed, to be discipled. And many of them are asking deeper questions than we realize. Where does my work fit in God's story? What does obedience look like at my level of influence? How do I leverage what I've been given for something that actually matters? 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are ambassadors for Christ." That identity does not turn on and off depending on vocation. When pastors and ministry leaders step into that space, everything changes. Now the conversation is not, "Would you consider giving?" It becomes, "How is God inviting you to participate in what He's doing?" That's a different conversation. As N.T. Wright has written, the point of the gospel is not just to get people into heaven, but to make people fully human. That includes how they live, lead, and give. And it leads to a different kind of response. Conclusion: recognize the shift, unlock the opportunity. Simply recognizing that Gen X donors are different than Boomer donors is a meaningful first step. But the real opportunity is deeper than generational strategy. It's theological. God is already at work in the lives of marketplace leaders. He is shaping them, positioning them, inviting them. Philippians 2:13 reminds us, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose." Pastors and ministry leaders have the unique opportunity to help them see it. And when that happens, something powerful follows. Giving is no longer the end goal. It becomes a byproduct of alignment. And when Gen X donors experience what God is doing beyond their immediate circle, when they are invited into real partnership, when their work is validated, when the vision is clear, and when the relationship is sincere, generosity doesn't just increase, it multiplies. Sometimes in ways that surprise everyone in the room.